the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, last Sunday we spoke about the theophany being a truly untouchable event. That the God who is unapproachable in his divinity manifests himself to us, and the Jordan pulled back, St. John pulled back, the people pulled back, because the light of Christ is so glorious. And it's difficult for us to assimilate that light, to become children of that light. And this is a lifelong process, even continuing in the next age where we go from glory to glory as we partake of this light of God. And we said that when Christ appears in the Jordan River, he shows us what it is to be truly human. We see the perfect man. And we see also the revelation of God as a trinity of persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those two go hand in hand, because to be truly the perfect man, we have to also dwell in community, because we were made in God's image and likeness. We were made to be communal beings. But in the revelation of the glory of God and the glory to which man is called, Christ also immediately manifests the way by which we might assimilate that glory. We might attain to that glory. And what is the way but holy baptism? At the very moment he's manifesting perfect humanity and the divinity, he's also manifesting the way by which we may be remade, refashioned, renewed, purified, forgiven, enlightened, illumined. He's revealing to us the way by which we might share in that perfection, in that glory, in that life that we aspire to, but which also is unapproachable. The fathers talk about man being dust from the earth, clay, if you will, and man in the fall becomes a broken vessel. Christ comes to the Jordan River, and he picks up the pieces of mankind. And as that great potter, he puts those pieces in the water, and he begins to refashion, remake man. And he sends down the fire of the Holy Spirit upon man, as in a spiritual kiln, and reforms and refashions him. And man becomes once again filled with this light, with this glory of God. This is the process that happens to those who are catechumens as they come into the church. And it's actually an ongoing process of those of us who have already been initiated into this mystery. We are remade, refashioned, renewed all the time by holy repentance, which the fathers call a second baptism. It would be wonderful if after we were remade in the baptismal font, we went and we lived sinlessly, but we don't. We don't. All of us have our faults. All of us from time to time have cracks and breaks. And we come back to the Lord in repentance, and he heals us again. I want you to picture the scene for a moment, with everybody coming out to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And everyone is confessing their sins, being washed in the water. And they see then this man coming, this Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes to John, and John doesn't want to baptize him, but he submits to it. Christ goes into the water. The voice of the Father is heard. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove appears. And this great revelation of how high we can ascend is given to us. Think about it in this way. Here's an analogy. You're at a car wash. I have a Pontiac Vibe. Take the Pontiac Vibe to the car wash. You run it through. Comes out. It's looking pretty good. Maybe put a little wax on it. And then someone rolls up to the car wash with a Tesla. Who knows what a Tesla is? One of the nicest cars available, right? Hundreds of thousands. They roll up with a Tesla. And you say, well, you know, I'm working real hard to polish and clean my car, but wouldn't it be nice to have that Tesla? Well, that's actually what Christ comes to do for us. That's the difference between his baptism and the baptism of John. John was about washing ourselves, cleansing ourselves, making ourselves the best that we could be. It was a baptism of repentance. But Christ's baptism is much different. What is his baptism all about? dying to oneself and being reborn. It's a trade-in. Instead of washing ourselves and polishing ourselves and maybe putting new rims on, he says, cut to the chase. Take your old life and leave it. I'm going to give you a Tesla. I'm going to give you newness of life. I'm going to give you my life that you can partake of.
St. John Chrysostom, he says this so beautifully.
He talks to us about what Christ does for us in his baptism. He says, he is baptized and I am cleansed. The Holy Spirit descends upon him and my sins are remitted. The Father declares that he is the beloved Son and I become a child of God for his sake. The heavens are opened for him and I enter. The kingdom is revealed and I inherit it. The Father speaks to him and I am called. He is approved and I am no longer cast out. For all of this, I glorify the Father whose voice was heard from on high, the Son who is baptized below, the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove, the one God in Trinity to whom be worship forever. Amen. He speaks about our incorporation into the life of Christ. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We die, we're buried, and we rise with him in the baptismal font. We experience this great rebirth and this refashioning.
And this, as Christians, is our greatest epiphany.
Epiphany, we said, is a manifestation from on high, but epiphany is often in its colloquial form reduced to kind of more mundane things. You can have an epiphany, let's say you go to the store and you see something on 50% off. You say, well, if I buy that, I could save 50%. But the epiphany comes in where we say, well, you know, am I really saving money if I don't need that? Couldn't I save 100% if I don't buy something I don't need? That's an epiphany, right? The light bulb goes off. Right? There's an enlightenment that takes place. The greatest enlightenment that we can have as Christians is not to tweak ourselves, not to work on the best person we can be, but simply just to say, I'm going to cut to the chase and I'm going to trade in my life to share in the life of Christ. That is our epiphany. And that's what we're called to. That's what we know. But it's so hard to do it. And that's why sometimes our Christian life is filled with sorrow. The wise Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he writes, in much wisdom is much grief. He that increases knowledge increases sorrow. In much wisdom is much grief. He that increases knowledge increases sorrow. The more we stay at that Jordan River, and we look at the perfection of Christ, and we try just to work on ourselves in our own way, the more we realize we'll never get there. We'll never attain to what it is that we want, what we're called to. Because we're not ready to trade in yet and trade up. And life becomes sorrowful. As the glory that we're called to is revealed in the church, we hear about it all the time. And it becomes something of a chastisement to us. We hear about what we're called to, the life we're supposed to be living, and we're not living it. And it weighs on us. It's like a man who's in a dark room and the lights slowly get turned on. And then we see ourselves in the mirror. We see what's become of our life. And we say, turn that light down a little bit, dim it a little bit. It's hard to be in the church. It's hard to be in the light of Christ. There was a parable that was given by the Lord about a man having two sons. I don't relate this to my own children. Sometimes I do. I have two sons. This is not related to them. But in the parable, the Lord says, a man had two sons. He came to the first and he said, son, go work in my vineyard. He answered, I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and he did it. He came to the second and he said the same thing. He answered, I go, sir, but then he didn't. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Sometimes when we have an epiphany, a moment of clarity, a realization of what it is that we should be doing, a command from God, we say that we're going to do it. We're going to fulfill it. We see this glory. Yes, we're going to ascend to it. But then we don't. While others who have said, you know, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. They later change their mind and they actually go ahead and do that. You know what the Lord said about this parable? He said, Jesus said to them, "Most certainly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness and you didn't believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And when you saw that even, you didn't repent." The Lord came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to call people who recognize their darkness, recognize their brokenness, recognize their sin, and wanted a trade-in. Those are the people who acquire the life of Christ. Those are the people who enter the kingdom of God. But those who are happy and self-sufficient with their own life, who just want to tweak things, they don't make that change. They don't enter into that newness of life. It's only when we want to die to ourselves and all of the brokenness and all of the fallenness, even the things we become accustomed to and have accepted, it's only when we decide we're going to be totally immersed in those waters are we reborn and we enter into that kingdom. Brothers and sisters, there are three things that I'll leave you with for your consideration. The first is the importance of realizing our darkness. Now, this seems like a terrible thing, but actually, it's the most wonderful gift of God to realize our darkness. And it's a gift that actually was found in the greatest of those born of woman. Who is that? Who's the greatest of those born of woman? John the Baptist, right? He realized his own darkness. He came to the Jordan and he had the job of baptizing the sinless one. St. John Chrysostom, in his sermon on this, he says that purity is not purged by foulness. A judge is not set at liberty by the condemned. A corpse does not resurrect the living. The ill and sick do not heal physicians. And he goes on. And he's describing actually what John underwent when he came into Christ's presence. And that should be the feeling that we have when we come into Christ's presence. This understanding of our unworthiness, this realizing of our darkness, and this great humility before God. The second thing, we come to Christ and we listen to what he says. And when we do that, when we apply ourselves, when we listen, sitting at the Lord's feet, studying the scriptures, then we have epiphanies all the time. Every single day can be a new realization of what God is saying to us, what he's teaching us. We cannot enlighten ourselves. We are enlightened by Christ and his church. Just last night we had a Bible study. I don't know how many people we had. But it was so wonderful because it was a good crowd. And it was a time, I think, where we all learned something. We learned something because we were assembled and we were sitting at the Lord's feet. And by the way, priests often learn the most at these kind of educational opportunities. Because it's really Christ who's teaching us. It's Christ who's enlightening us. We have the opportunity to come. To come for the Bible studies. To blow the dust off the scriptures on our bookshelves. To read something spiritual. To converse with one another. To talk about this Lord who enters into the Jordan River and calls us to such heights. To learn about our faith and to hear his words. And finally, the last thing that we could do, after we realize our darkness and we come and we listen to the one who can illumine us, we actually put into practice what he says. Because what he tells us to do, those commands that he gives, to go into the vineyard and to do your work, to keep all of the statutes and ordinances of the Lord, all of these things set us on the straight and narrow path. They guide us in the way that we should go to the kingdom of heaven. Think about those two sons. They were both told to go and work in the vineyard. One went, the other didn't. When they returned to their father, what do you think the father said? What do you think he said to the one that didn't go into the vineyard? Probably something like, why didn't you go into the vineyard today? Right? The same exact thing. Or maybe even, son, I know you're not going to go work in the vineyard. Just clean up your room. Lower the bar a little bit. Right? Just do something. But for the son who went into the vineyard, he might say, son, come with me. I want to show you greater things. Why? Because he was willing to listen and to do. This is the great key to getting a second enlightenment, a second epiphany. Brothers and sisters, the Lord does not want to weigh us down with so many things. He gives us one thing to do every moment. If we do that one thing that moment, then he'll give us something the next moment, and the next moment. And they'll eventually lead to his heavenly kingdom. These epiphanies, these manifestations, they'll lead to the realization that what we've actually done in following all of these steps is we've traded in part by part our Pontiac Vibe for this Tesla. There'll be nothing that will remain that's ours in life, but everything will be Christ that he's given to us. St. Paul in the epistle today, he said, and we'll close on this. He said, I know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. St. John the Baptist would have said, no, I'm the first. And we should say, no, we are the first. He came to save us. And it's this St. Paul who says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's this St. John who said, I must decrease so that he might increase. And it's us who say, we must die so that he might live. Let this epiphany be real for us now, every day, and into eternity. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Forever and ever.